If you have a Bible, I would ask you to open it this morning to Titus chapter 3. I am going to read a little bit longer passage than will be behind me, so we get a little bit more of the flow of the text. Titus chapter 3. The message this morning is going to be all together just about on verse 8 and 9 on the subject of Titus and good works part 2, which I have dealt with that in a few weeks back on the subject already. Let's all stand. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. If you have a Bible, read with me. I'm going to speak on Titus and good works, and we're going to discuss the subject of good works. As I wrote this, I immediately recognize I don't have enough time to cover the subject. So this subject will be covered again down the road in a different setting. I'm going to deal with this text, 2 verses. If you're a Christian and you've been saved over 5 minutes, you will hear something you never saw in your life that's in the text. No secrets. But it'll be helpful for you. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness. Excuse me. You know what? I want to start in verse 4. Excuse me. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, meaning mankind. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly, meaning the Holy Spirit was poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, not by good works, not by church, not by the activities of pastors or whatever you're part of. We are justified by his grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He then doesn't switch subjects totally. He takes us in a little different direction, talking about good works. This is a faithful saying. You can depend on this. This is guaranteed. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Well, what do you want us to say? Paul, what do you want Titus and the rest of us to talk about? That they which have believed, meaning you're already a believer, you're already saved, you've already trusted Christ in God, might be careful to maintain good works. My insight is in the last line. Oh my goodness, I wish I'd have seen this about 40 years ago. These things are good, meaning these good works are good morally and beneficially and profitable unto men or for mankind is the idea. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, because they're not good and they're not profitable. They are unprofitable and vain or empty. I'm going to say 6 simple statements about good works in this passage this morning. I've entitled this Titus and Good Works. I hope that I'm able to help you. So if you're a Christian here, it's interesting. Sunday school was revelatory to me for reasons that no one here would get. When Cassie, which had to go to work, said some things that she learned in this church. Wow! Which gives me hope that people can still hear things and actually grow and change. About bitterness, by the way. Some people hang on to their bitterness to the last possible moment. May I say this? I will speak to you, every one of you, in this sermon. It's not negative. It's a simple sermon. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the privilege of being here. We're going to talk about good works this morning. I have to do it systematically and textually, so we have to cover all the bases, lest anybody is confused. My goal primarily is to simply shine light on this subject of good works. in a way that puts it together where we can grasp the Word of God. Help me, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to briefly say this. Years and years ago, my wife and I were in the state of Campeche, in the southern part of the Yucatan Peninsula, right north of Guatemala. And I heard a word that I hate, a do-gooder. Some people from America went down there and planted orange trees to help the people. They call that being do-gooders. And the people didn't want to grow orange trees, and the entire area was abandoned, and now it's forested over. The second word I hate is, this comes from my childhood, you're a goody two-shoes. So this morning, we're going to talk about good works, but the whole package again. So now I will begin. Amy, my daughter, and I went to eat sometime the last year or two. Don't know when, just know that we went to eat. We went to N&T's in Zion. Lovely place, love the food, love the family that owns it, good people. Well, we went and we had some good food. We had conversation. I don't know if the conversation was good or not. Usually our conversations, she's telling me what to do and I'm resisting with all of my might. By the way, for all of you that know N&T's, Lola, the lady that runs the place, is lovely, and it was a great conversation with Lola. Well, we got done with our meal. She brings the ticket over and she puts it on our table. And I know what that means. Somebody has to pay. That somebody, Dave, you were talking about children. I don't know why the parents always pay. I can't figure that out. I guess I pay until I die. But so Amy got up. We both got up. We left. We walked up and I had in my hand, and I'll just use an illustration of it. It wasn't like this. It was, you know, long and slim. I had the bill. I looked at the bill and I got into my wallet just like I'm doing now. And I pulled out my credit card and I handed it to her. How many times have you done that? Just handed it to her. I'm waiting. Amy's already left. I'm looking around, minding my own business. And she runs the credit card through the machine. Rejected. Runs it through the machine again. Rejected. And then she said, sir, your credit card is rejected. Now, by the way, what goes through your head at that point? 10,000 things. Bambi, what'd you do with all the money? Have you run off with the church's money? You cut mine off. All of these things go through your head in about a second. And this is what I said. I still remember what I said. I said, try it one more time. She said, okay. She took the credit card. And as she's putting the credit card through, I realized it's Sam's card. And would you believe the Sam's card does not do credit cards? You say, how did that happen? Really, it's a simple, friends. My color vision's not real good. I just saw this thing. I pulled it out. I thought it was just right with my credit cards. When I go to Sam's Club, and I handed it to her. But why do you say this? Please look at me. Good works will not, do not, and cannot save me. You bring your Sam's Club and try to put something on it. That there is a membership card. It gets you in the door. It gets you to be able to purchase. You have to shoot it. But by the way, Sam's Club doesn't buy anything. Can I say this? That's our first point. Titus chapter 3. If you would look there with me, please. Titus 3 says this as clearly as we can. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. My friend, I've talked to so many people. They get angry at you. They get frustrated at you because they go to a church, so-called, where somehow you do things that maybe over a lifetime, God will be happy with you and maybe you go to heaven, but maybe not. Maybe you go to purgatory for the next 5 years, 50 years, 5,000 years, and somebody else has to pay for you to get out of there. Hear me. Sam's Club membership doesn't work. It's not by works of righteousness which you have done and I have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saved us. Only. That's the only way we're saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By the way, everybody in this room that's a Christian over 10 minutes has this memorized. For by grace are you saved. Grace is what God does for us through faith. It's not only by grace, it's through simply we respond out of faith. And then he says as clearly as you can, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then he says the double knots, not of works. Everyone look at me. Baptists are famous for the second line. It's not of works. But they still think, many people, there's something special about me. The reason I get saved is I'm special. It is not of something you do. And hear me, it's not of something that you are or ever will be. It's 100% Him. It's not of what you do, and it's not of who you are. It's not, I think it says it pretty clearly. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And by the way, that just stomps on all of our pride. I'm special. By the way, I'm special too. I'm a special sinner, and I'm very good at it. And apart from the grace of God, I would have no hope, just like you. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I heard a pastor, I will not say his name, TV pastor. He was trying to be pious. And he had a theological bent for you that have ears to hear. I'm not going to say what it is. He said, what will you say when you get to heaven and you want to be entered in? And he said, you will be able to tell people, listen to the language, I trusted Christ. Awful lot of I in that statement. By the way, here's your only hope. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing in me. Nothing I can do. It's only Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. How do we get this all tied up in my I'm special? It's not of you. It's not of your good works. It's of Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. I got a little carried away. Can I say this? Many people think salvation is something they are or they do. What can you, by the way, you can do one thing for salvation. You bring your sin. You say, well, doesn't Jesus want my heart? What does He want your dirty heart for? He doesn't need it. He comes to cleanse you and change you and transform you. Well, we'll move on to the second line, second concept. By the way, Romans 3:28 is there also. Therefore, and by the way, we would have to work through Romans chapter 3, but Paul says, therefore, we conclude that a man or a woman is justified, how? By faith, meaning by faith alone in Christ alone, without the deeds of the law. God, good works do not and cannot save. Number two, well, Titus 3:5 first. He goes on to say, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Number two, good works do not and cannot save. Number two, only the finished work of Christ saves. Only the finished work of Christ saves. He saves us. We don't save ourselves. We don't help save ourselves. We don't add something to our salvation. Christ saves us by this whole process of making us new, regenerating us, making us new people, and cleansing us, and renewing us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a term from Hebrews, but before I go there, we're going to go into Hebrews. Everyone look at me. I know I have people in this room that are not saved. You better hear this word. It's either going to be you working or Christ who has worked. It's either your ongoing work or the finished work of Christ. I have an office up here. Everybody that doesn't know me, look up here in the corner. It's the corner office. It has something sacred in the window. A St. Louis Cardinal emblem. Now look at me, please. If you want to get in that thing, you have to have that key. You see that key? By the way, I have other keys. I have some clicky keys. None of them open the door. I have keys to my house. And sadly, is this true of everybody? I have keys that I don't know what they go to. You accumulate keys. You're not sure. But you don't want to throw them away. Because just when you throw them away, you find out what they're for. Look at me, friend. There is a key to eternal life. Look at me. It is formed like a cross. And the only hope anybody has is what Jesus Christ did for them. The finished work of Christ. Can I say this? I know there are people here that have grown up differently. You've been to churches where it's a little bit of Jesus, no criticism of any person. A little bit of Jesus, a little bit of Mary, a little bit of the church, even in some Baptist churches, what you do. No, no, no. There's one key that opens heaven, and it's shaped like a cross, and it's the Son of God who died for you. That's the only hope you have. Good works do not and cannot save. Only the finished work of Christ saves. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he, meaning Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. By the way, he pleads his death, burial, and resurrection and shed blood. That's how we have access to heaven, to the Father. He's pleading that, not someone else. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did, look at the language, once. The finished work of Christ, he did it one time when he offered up himself. Verse 12, I think I skipped that. Tom, what's the next passage? Is it verse 12? Yes, because I changed my notes a little bit. Thank you. Chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Get it? Once for all. Peter picks up on this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, not many times. It's the finished work of Christ. The just, he's just for the unjust. We are unjust. We can never save ourselves by our works because we're unjust. That he might do what? Bring us to God. Hebrews 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, on the other hand, once in the end of the world or the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself once and for all. It is finished. It is finished. It's the finished work of Christ. Verse 27, and as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was how many times? Once offered to bear the sins of many. The Lord Jesus on the cross, his last words were these. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. The price is paid. The job is done. The bill is clear. Sin has been atoned for. Friend, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everyone look at me. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. It's either, look at me, Christ or you. Which is it going to be? Or your religion? He has finished this. Now, good works. Good works do not and cannot save us. Only the finished work of Christ saves us. Do I think everybody gets this? Look at me in this room. No. I already know there are people, if you've grown up in an atmosphere where you're always doing something. Remember, I went to the Philippines. I have a friend right here. You are from Samar originally. Right across in Tacloban a little bit. I think it's south, but it could be north. I got disoriented in a city called Barawan. I went to a 50-year anniversary of death for a person. A friend, a distant friend, asked me when I was in the Philippines to come and remember his mother's death. Listen to me. 50 years before. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just a family gathering and friends, and it was, and then they brought a priest in. So I'm going to state what he said. He prayed through that whole time, kept saying, please receive her into your presence. 50 years after she's dead. Look at me, friend. You're either in the body, with the Lord, or not with the Lord. There aren't any in-between times and places. Either Christ finished it or you never get there. It's all Christ or it's nothing. That's what the Bible teaches. Well, we go to number 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Now I'm going to move on to Christians in this room. I'm actually going to try to do something as form of an introduction today. It's what my goal is. Verse 8 of Titus 3. He says this is a faithful saying. Meaning this is something you can depend on. And these things I will that thou affirm, he's talking to Titus and the churches on Crete, that you affirm constantly, you're always teaching this, preaching this, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Number 3, I have said number 1, good works do not and cannot save. Number 2, only the finished work of Christ saves. Number 3, good works follow salvation necessarily. So if God has saved you by his grace, changed you, made you a new creature, forgiven you, necessarily good works follow that. Well, look at the text again, please. They which have believed. So that's assuming you're already trusted Christ, necessarily good works come out of that. Now, I demonstrated that a couple weeks ago. I won't focus on it other than to say, again, if you have believed, if you have trusted Christ, good works follow that necessarily. It's not an option. It's going to happen one way or another. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we've already read it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourself, none of it is of you, none of it. It is the gift of God, not of works. It's not what you do, it's not who you are, lest any man should boast. For, now he takes it one step further, we are his workmanship or his creation, his craftsmanship. It's a beautiful term. His poem, we get the word poem from that word. We are his workmanship, beautifully created in Christ Jesus. It's a new creation. And it says what? Unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Years ago, Dr. our OBGYN friend, I'm glad you're here this morning. I never worked in OB. I was a med tech. But we used to draw blood on mothers in delivery. And I have 2 children, which I was at both of them's birth. Scary as that is. By the way, I didn't have any problem at John's birth, but at Amy's birth, I almost passed out. Why that is, I think I know. By the way, when that baby comes out, doctors in America do a lot of things, and nurses. They do a lot of things. One of the things they want to do very quickly, make sure the baby has proper vital signs, baby's breathing, baby is crying. And by the way, when John came out, crying happened naturally. By the way, the thing I learned, if you're a boy that's born, crying in food comes very quickly. You say, how do you know? Because that means, look at me, they're alive. How do you know someone's alive? They tell you? No, they show you. They eat. Yes, I can still remember my wife, with John especially. Amy was different. Going through the agony of the first birth and the baby not coming and Pitocin and all that stuff. And I remember, by the way, I was doing important things. Lemuel, you're going to have to listen to me. I got to give her ice chips. That's dad duty. I got to tell her, breathe. By the way, we went to Lamaze class. By the end of her first delivery, she wanted to kill me and the person that taught her Lamaze. And especially about breathing and all this. Shut that stuff up. But all I know is when John was delivered, the transformation from my wife in pain to the beauty of your first child. It was similar with Amy, but I saw it with John. And then immediately mom wants to start bonding with a baby because a baby that's alive starts growing, eating, breathing, crying. Can I say this? If you're saved, if God himself has created you new in Christ, inevitably, necessarily, good works come out of that. Just the nature of salvation. A baby is born, a life is new. All right, three ideas so far. Good works do not and cannot save. Only the finished work of Christ saves. Good works follow salvation. Hear the language. Necessarily. There is no other option. Now, for all of you that are been in, you've heard me preach for a long time. Now we take you places you have never been. This might be unpleasant. I'll warn you ahead of time. Because these verses don't exist by themselves. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 8 again, please, and read them in the flow of the passage. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Then he makes this little addition we'll talk about in the last point. These things are good and profitable unto men, meaning for mankind, for yourself, for your family, etc., and for humans in general. But, avoid certain, he says, foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. I'm going to say number four, and this is another step for me. So if I'm going to say this. If it's a new step for me, it's going to be a new step for you. Because I promise you, you're not going to read it. And it's very obvious once you catch it. I say this, number four, distracting works are not good works. And my goodness, are there a lot of distractions. So please look at me. I'm going to wander around and catch some of your attention. The sermon I heard about insurance was 100% a waste of 45 minutes of my life. The sermons I heard in the 70s about wire-rimmed glasses, a total waste of time. You need to learn to avoid concepts. Because distracting works might make you feel pious. We're the only ones. Did you know in all of the world we're the only church? That's exactly what you ought to be running from with all of your life. There are good works, and then there's just distracting works. And look at me. Distracting works have nothing to do with good works. Pink shirts. By the way, just so you know, so you don't get too angry for my business, I'm colorblind. I don't know what color pink is. I didn't even know I had ties that have, I don't know if this one doesn't. I have ties with pink in it. I didn't know that. Can I say this to you? I don't care what color shirt you wear. I prefer you to wear clothes. The color of the shirt, I don't care. Friends, I grew up in the 70s with a lot of nonsense. And they make people feel like exclusive, like we're the only ones. I'm not hearing you. Which is called, what's that called? Pride? Now, I'll get to you. You'll hate me. Just so you don't think I'm making this up, now we're going to look at the pastorals, all except one text because it's too long to read. Titus chapter 1, verse 14, he's already told us this. Don't give heed, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men that turn from the truth. Distracting works are not good works. They're things that waste your life. 1 Timothy 4, 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. I still remember the guy walked up to me. He was a stumbler and a bumbler. Do you know what I mean? Pastor Warren, I think you should talk about the evils of Pokemon. I want you to look at the guy in the face. Hey, look up here and say, wouldn't it be a good idea if you actually got a job and shut up about Pokemon? I think the Bible talks about if a man doesn't work, neither does he. I think I've read that. And if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. But Pokemon, by the way, do you understand the difference between distracting things and good works? Good works will be obvious in the New Testament, folks, and in the Old Testament, too. They're not secretive things. You say, do you have that series on Pokemon? Dave, that's your new series, buddy. The evils of Pokemon, whatever Pokemon is. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And instead, exercise thyself. You know, gymnazo, we get gym from that. I mean, give it your all, rather unto godliness. You see, you're going to see these contrasts with each other. You're either giving heed to the Jewish fables and commandments of men, or you're giving heed to the truth. You're either focusing on profane and old wives' fables, or you're exercising yourself unto godliness. 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, but they can make people feel very pious. 2 Timothy 2:23, but foolish and unlearned questions. What does it say? Stay away from, knowing that they do gender strifes. The juxtaposition of these two terms, good works and distracting works, shows you how important it is to, if you're a believer, to get beyond things that make you feel pious but don't really help you. They're just distractions. Now, this is my experience. It might not be yours. I don't have one of these, and I forgot to ask my wife. Grandma DeGraw, I know she has some at home. I know you do. My mother-in-law had a bunch of them. It's an age. Do you all know what a lace doily is? When we had a woman years ago came here with her lace doily on her head. She was so pious with her lace doily on her head. By the way, I thought those doilies, my grandmother had them all over the house. I thought those were pretty. I didn't know you put one on your head. Well, she was being pious. Now, that didn't keep her from doing drugs and being a drunk and marrying a sexual pervert, but she had her. And by the way, you know what that is? I'm going to give this to you guys in language you understand. That's your get out of jail card. I got my doily. Really? Drugs? Alcohol? Marrying a sexual pervert? By the way, this is not maybe. The guy she was with was in prison for sexual perversion. But she was in love. Here, let me do it. But I got my doily. That is a distracting thing that does not benefit you or anybody else. It is a distracting kind of thing. Well, so now I got your attention. She cussed like a sailor. Jim, is that a fair to say somebody cussed like a sailor? I don't think sailors have to cuss, do they? But some do. This sailor didn't cuss. Cliff, you don't. Now, that Master Chief ahead of you, I'm not sure about. By the way, but that's this phrase. She cussed like a sailor. She did. Married multiple times. Never attended church. Never gave to the church. Never served in a church. But, she knew the right name for Jesus. It's not Jesus. It's Yeshua. I'm going to, by the way, first time I heard that, it's like Yeshua. It's from a person that doesn't read Hebrew or Aramaic trying to impress you that they have information you don't have. Can I tell you what the New Testament Greek word is for Jesus? Jesus. Sounds a lot like Jesus. Sounds a lot like Jesus. But by the way, she could cuss. She could be married multiple times. She never went to church, but she had a distracting work. Look at me. She had her doily. You all know what I'm talking about. By the way, do you know I've been pastoring a long time. Do you know I've seen this my whole pastoral ministry? Somebody comes to church and looks down on everybody because they don't have the doily. By the way, if you want to wear a doily here, God bless you. I'm thinking about getting something to cover the hole in the back of my head. I'm thinking about, you know, doing the Jewish thing and putting that, you know. By the way, friends, would that make me a better person? Take a breath. I've told this story before, but it's a true story. I'm talking, there are so, by the way, I say behind me someplace. Don't I, Tom? Is there any limit to these crazy ideas, Tim? All right, so this is the biggest one that happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Some of you will not like me after this. King James onlyism. I said onlyism. By the way, for all of you that hate me already, I would also say NIV onlyism, ESV onlyism. This is my recommendation. Shut up and read the Bible. I had a man in my church in St. Louis. I've told the story. I got to say it again. By the way, some people will love me and some people will hate me for this. You mark it down. This just distracts people from godliness. So we went to that great restaurant from St. Louis called Jack in the Box. They had good burgers 100 years ago. I don't know what they have today. We ate. We got done. His name was Bob. Bob was leaving. He always carried his Bible. By the way, if you go to one of those churches, you have to carry the Bible like a woman carries her purse. Men do not walk like this. I never met a man on the farm that did. You say, men just don't look like they're carrying a purse. And if you carry a purse like that, you make me nervous. But that's beside the point. He had his Bible, and he stopped at the door as we were leaving Jack in the Box, and he said, Pastor Warren, my marriage is bad. My children are a wreck. We don't tithe. We don't serve. We don't support missions. But he literally said to me, but I have the right Bible. Do you all know what that is? That's a doily. By the way, there's so many of these, we could spend a month talking about them. Look at me. We're going to come to the fifth point because the last 10 minutes is this. There's just a lot of distractions out there. By the way, I use the King James. I actually have an education. I can actually read the original languages and do for every single sermon, Hebrew or Greek. There you go. I can read other versions. I'm all for it. But I had a prof in school, in a King James only school. He said this. The smallest Bible in most people's life, this is a long time ago, is not the Reader's Digest condensed version. He says it's the Bible you obey. I think we need to understand there's lots of distractions out there, even within our circles. And I will say this and be done with this. And most of it's done to make us feel proud. We're the only ones. No, we're not. And if you think you're the only one, welcome to Elijah. And what happened to Elijah? God had to take him home. He was done when he thought he was the only one. We're not the only ones. By the way, I was in India. They were reading the Bible in all kinds of weird languages. I didn't understand any of them. I think they're still reading the Word of God. Well, we're going to continue with the last idea. Thank you for listening so far. I have said four simple statements. Number one, good works do not and cannot save. Number two, only the finished work of Christ saves. Number three, good works follow salvation necessarily. Number four, distracting works are not good works. We don't have time to go through all those verses, but there's just a thousand places to chase. Bob Jones Sr. used to call it chasing rabbits. You're just chasing stuff all over the place. Quit chasing rabbits. Number 5, Titus 3, verse 8. Read with me the juxtaposition again, please. This is a faithful saying. In these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Notice this phrase. These things are good. I think mentally that means morally good. And what's that say? Profitable. So he's saying something beyond this. Titus 3:9. On the other hand, so to speak. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are what? It is like in English, sometimes you'll have an A that makes the word negative. In Greek, it's called the alpha privative. It's not only not profitable, it's unprofitable, and it's vain. Meaning, if you chase this rabbit down, if you finally capture the rabbit, nothing's there. It's empty. Contrast, number 5, good works are good. Hear me, good and profitable for us. That is the idea. You say, what do you mean? Everyone look at me. Good works in the Bible. Listen, you're going to be a Christian if you're saved this morning. You're going to be a Christian if the Lord calls you home or the rapture occurs. You better figure out what it is. Look at me in the eyes. Good, morally, and profitable. Can I say this? ESV-onlyism is not profitable for you to chase that rabbit either. There's lots of rabbits. Take a breather. How about this? Look at things in this sense. What is good, beneficial, and morally good for me as an individual? I'll give you 3 big ones. Are you ready? Guys, over here. Here's the first one. If you're saved, Scripture. My good daughter is not perfect. Her family is not perfect. But my good daughter has done a better job with the Bible than any family in this church to this point. And that is a fact. And you don't know who my good daughter is. She's not my real daughter, but she's my good daughter. I have a bad daughter and a good daughter in the church. By the way, my real daughter is trying to do it too, but look at me. Scripture. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Friend, there's something about Scripture. That's what it's about. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalm 19 says, more to be desired are they than gold. You say, what are good works? Parents, quit messing around with your children. They need to learn to be in the Bible at a young age. And as they grow up, you say they're not always, no, of course not. I was a teenager. But can I say this? Look at me. The things I heard in church and from my mother stuck with me over a lifetime. I can still quote Psalm 23, much of John 14. I can quote lots of passages just because I was in church. And my mother, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. My friend, think about good works as what is actually good for you as an individual Christian. It's the word of God. It's the Scripture. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. How about this one? Prayer. Actually having prayer times. We'll look at 3 verses. He spake a parable unto them to this end. That men, that's not talking about males, humans, ought always to pray and not to faint or not to quit. I think you need to get daily disciplines. Here they are, evening and morning and at noon. Will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Please look at me. I've said this, a lot of visitors. Jewish world, the day begins the night before. The most important time of your day is the night before. That's the reason it begins with evening and morning and at noon. By the way, the big 3, you don't have to be, it's not a legalism game, it's a rhythm in life. You go to bed thinking about Scripture. You go to bed thinking about Christ. You go to bed, maybe pray. Yes, you do that the night before. So when you wake up, evening and morning and at noon, yes, it's a flow. Daniel, I'm not going to teach anything. I'm just saying this, the Word of God, prayer. Daniel says in Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writings were signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees, what? That comes right back from Psalm 55. That's a Jewish way of thinking. You start the night before, you do it the first thing in the morning, you do it sometime during the day. It's just a rhythm, it's a flow, it's not legalism. What's good for you as an individual? You say, what are they? I would say this, your three big ones. Scripture, prayer, and worship. And by worship, I don't mean just worship here or at a church. I'm talking about your worship of the Lord at all times. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And by the way, that means you're not him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I would say, good for the individual. How about good for the family? Oh, my goodness. Start thinking. I want to say this, and I'm almost done. Please look at me. Think about concentric circles going out, ripples. Start with what's good for me as an individual. Scripture, prayer, worship of God. That would be both personal and corporate. Next ripple, family. Deuteronomy 6 says it. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. When thou, and then it gives you the four winds. It tells you exactly how to teach your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We conclude this morning by saying, by the way, I just want to illustrate, and I'm done. Everyone look at me quickly. Here it is. The center concern for you, look at me, the good works, if you're saved, is your time with the Scripture, prayer, and worship. And I didn't say one word about music, because do not confuse music with worship. Music is beautiful. I love the songs we sing. I love to sing together. But can I say this? We could do without a lot of the nonsense that goes on in churches, including dancing and all kinds of stupidity. What's the next level out? What's the next level? Your family. What's the next level? Your church. What's the next level? Your community. What's the next level? Your world. Start thinking of good works in this way. What's good, moral, and beneficial for me, my family, my church, my community, my world? And your good works will take care of themselves as long as you don't get distracted chasing after some rabbit, thinking, I got it. I'm the only one that's got it. No, good works are those basic things, look at me, that my mother taught me, but it wasn't my mother only. My wife's mother taught her as children. Scripture, prayer, worship. Church, family, impacting community, impacting the world. Those are the good works. And by the way, necessarily, those are the good works. The other stuff is chasing rabbits. Stop chasing rabbits. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together this morning. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, we asked for your Holy Spirit to work in their lives. We desperately, desperately need your intervention for us to understand. We can't save ourselves. You save us. You save us by your amazing grace. For every Christian in this room that, and by the way, I would have to raise my hand for the many distractions that rabbits that I chased as a kid, especially as a young man, chasing stuff that 40 years later looks ridiculous. Because it's not a good work, it's a distracting work. Good works are always beneficial. Help us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen.